At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
St. John's responded. And so instead of us talking about how miserable of a loss it was, how catastrophic this season turned out to be, we are talking about one of the great moments the program has had in 25 years, sports.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely why you watch sports, because of moments like this. And especially if you're local and Dylan Darling, who was horrendous shooting from three-point range, really not even yesterday, but the whole tournament he's been bad, and he gets a one-on-one matchup. I don't know why Kansas is playing man, but they took advantage of it. He kind of half-stepped. I thought he walked at the beginning of it and gets downhill.
Imagine if they called that.
Exactly. I mean, you can't call it.
Well, they called a backcourt violation that was crap.
That's true, but either way, it's euphoric. I love Rick Pitino's reaction, and whether that's just because he's paying respect to Bill Self or he's just so buttoned up. It was badass.
Yeah, it reminded me of Lindor's Grand Slam against the Phillies. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes when you do something amazing, and I know Rick Pitino didn't do anything physically, but he is the head coach of St. John's,
yes,
and he turned the program around, and he had enough confidence to draw up a play for Dylan Darling because he asked nicely,
yes,
which is nuts. But for Pitino, and I agree with you, that was one of my lasting images of that win last night. For him to just so calmly be like, oh, yeah, nice one.
Yeah.
Let's walk off. Let me just wave a little bit. Let me shake Bill Self's hand and get out of here. It did remind me of how calm Lindor was when he hit that home run against Estevez and the Phillies. It was badass. You're right. Like, it's a complete badass moment by Rick Pitino.
Yeah, and so who was I? As I went to the Devils game last week.
Look at you.
I'm at the Devils game. I told you this. I think I told you guys this. I'm sitting behind the Devils bench.
Right.
I'm looking at the manager. He's just sitting there in a suit. And I'm like, man, I wish that more people wore suits.
Now, College Hoops has that.
And I kind of forgot that Rick Pitino still wears a suit.
Yeah.
And so watching him in that last moment, I was like, yes, I like this guy even more now, because I'm now re-engaged to think about head coaches wearing suits. But it's just the calm. I think that's the message or the takeaway from the St. John's win against Kansas, is that you necessarily sometimes take on the personality of your head coach.
Yeah.
And when your head coach projects calm and confidence, regardless of the situation, you as players are going to be calm and confident. And I think that's what St. John's did down the stretch against a Kansas team that was storming back from down 14.
No, it's a great point. That, because if you think about the last 2 minutes, and I wrote a few plays down, because this is what I love about basketball, is 100 million plays.
Yeah.
And sometimes you forget about some of the hugest moments that go a little bit forgotten because of the exclamation point at the end, like a game-winning buzzer beater by, God, 0 points in Dylan Darling. But I think you're right, because St. John's in a lot of ways were collapsing. I mean, they were getting destroyed on the offensive glass. They weren't helped out by that backcourt violation I thought was a BS call. But right after that, Darren Peterson, who I'm no longer as in love with. sorry to work the Nets into this, but I'm not as in love with him today as maybe I was 48 hours ago. But if the Darren Peterson missed that three, it was Kansas beating them on the glass for the putback, and they needed that at that point in the game with a 5-point game and 2.5 minutes to go. But here's where I thought St. John showed their biggest stones. Zubi was awesome in this game, and he's been awesome all year. He got blocked near the basket. There was a loose ball. It ended up within Kansas's hands. Darren Peterson put up a shot, missed that. There was a tip-in that made it a one-point game with a minute 56 to go. And much like the possession earlier, it was all over the place.
Yeah.
Loose ball, St. John's could have grabbed it, Kansas storming the glass. It's a one-point game with a minute 56 to go. Rick Pitino calls a timeout. And now I'm gathering my thoughts as an ICBO, as an ISJO.
Right.
And I said, they're going to lose this game.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
And I'm curious, St. John's fans, and even non, like, basketball fans who watched that game last night, did you not share that belief with the lead cut to one and a minute 56 to go, and your best player just had a shot blocked at the basket?
Right.
Was there not a part of you, and I think that was the same possession where it looked like Kansas was out of bounds during the whole chaos?
Yeah, when they hooked it underneath and they just got the easy layup.
And there's nothing you could do about it because it's a live game action play, but it looked like they were out of bounds. We never really saw a great replay of it, or at least a clear replay. But did you not think during that timeout, they're going to lose this game?
Yeah, it felt like they were blowing it.
It felt like they were blowing it, and that is why, while Dylan Darling deserves so much credit today, we can't forget about Bryce Hopkins. Because the three that he hit with a minute 25 to go that took a one-point lead and made it a four-point lead was the absolute game-changer.
Right.
Even in a weird way, more than even the Darling game winner. Hear me out on that. Because if Darling doesn't make the game winner, it goes to overtime.
Yes.
I don't know what happens in overtime.
Yes.
I mean, St. John.
They're the better team for most of the game.
Right.
They'd likely win it in overtime.
I kind of agree with you.
Yes.
Like, a part of me says, you know what? Kansas stormed back. Good for them. St. John's has been the better team most of the game. They'll win in overtime. So when Dylan Darling hit that game-winning layup, and I'm not minimizing it at all, if anything, I'm just putting over Bryce Hopkins. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, he was big, he wins the game, great, but if Hopkins doesn't make that three, and Kansas gets the ball back with a minute 20 to go down by one, Kansas could take the lead.
Of course.
And if they take the lead, it feels like, all right, this game is over.
Now you're trying to score down.
No doubt. So in a lot of ways, Dylan Darling deserves all the credit. We'll get calls about him today. John Rothstein even tweeted he's never going to drink another beer for free in New York City. I'm skeptical of that comment. We'll get to it later.
I doubt it. They'll forget his name next week.
Maybe. But Bryce Hopkins, if the Hopkins family is listening, dude, that was a dog play. And it was important, and I think in a lot of ways was the most important play of last night's escape by St. John's.
No, you're right. I mean, you can't deny it. You make a huge three to give yourself a cushion. Kansas can, no matter what Kansas does, they're not going to get in front of you. And it felt like you were waiting the last, I don't know, 5 minutes of this game for Kansas to just take the lead.
Yeah.
And once they took the lead, then it was like, oh, what are you doing? How are you responding, St. John's? It never happened. And I mean, they tied, but they never got in front of St. John's. And look, Dylan Darling is the name that everybody's going to talk about. But this was a complete team effort all the way around.
And Zubi Ejiofor is tremendous.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, he's fantastic.
I also think the way that game played out, too, and when asking what's next here for St. John's, whether it's Duke, and then if they won that game to UConn, I think the second half last night goes a long way into how they handled Duke. Duke got their test versus CNN that first game, and they needed that. You know, if they just go on as St. John's cruises in that second half, they win by 12, I almost think this helps them more that they went through that gut check versus a team like
that. It forces an urgency on your part.
It's a complete Monday morning quarterbacking thing, because I think as you're sitting there and you're consuming the game, you want to destroy them, and you never want to blow a 14-point lead or a 13-point lead with 6:45 to go. But as we sit here today, what are we now, 14 hours after the game is over, I completely agree with you. I remember even saying that the other day about Duke, that white-knuckle game is really, really important for some of the top seeds. Obviously, St. John's wasn't a huge favorite in this game. They actually went off as a favorite, though.
Yeah, I mean, it was a 4-5 matchup.
Yeah.
It's not like this was, you know, 2-12 or whatever.
No, maybe. Absolutely. It was a 3.5-point spread, but they were viewed as a favorite in this game. So this wasn't like one of those, you're playing an inferior team and boy, you got a scare. It was more that you won the game. You outplayed them 90% of the time. You had a big lead in the final 5 minutes and you let them back in it. I mean, and to escape, I agree with you. I think it actually improves their chances of beating a Duke or a Michigan State or UConn if they get that far. Because that was a test yesterday, man. Right. That was an ultimate test of fortitude.
Yeah.
Of guts. Of, what is he called, Dylan Darling, again?
Church Bells.
Church Bells. Yeah. What a
Church Bells.
What an amazing nickname. Yeah. A few months ago, apparently, because he's got, you know, cojones, he started calling him Church Bells. And not only that, and I got to play this clip because there's a part of me that's skeptical of it. But then you watch the play and you realize, all right, Rick's telling the truth.
Okay.
Rick's not lying to us. Rick Pitino told everybody the story of how they got to Dylan Darling getting that final shot. And I'm telling you, when I heard it post-game, because I kind of forgot about how the last play unfolded, I need to rewatch it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that sounds like a fable. That sounds like a story you say to make things better, but it's probably true. Here's Rick Pitino describing how they came up with the ball being in Dylan Darling's hands at the end.
Dylan Darling, he's got balls as big as church bells. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what he said.
I gave the wrong clip.
No, no, that's fine because that gives context. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's the first time he called them church bells 2 months ago.
Yes.
He said, as he described there, balls as big as church bells.
Yeah.
Here's him describing the play from last night.
But here's the amazing thing and the funniest thing I've ever been involved with. So we're going to run a play, and but they got fouls to give. And Bells comes up to me.
Bells.
And says, run power, which is a high back screen pick and roll. So I walk away. I said, okay, power. I walk away and said, wait a second. He hasn't scored a bucket, and he wants to run a play for himself. And I'm thinking as I'm walking, I said, but he's Bells. And not only did he do it, he went with his right hand. So I'm real proud of him because to want the ball when you haven't made a shot is unbelievable.
And for you, Rick Pitino.
Wait, is he a lefty?
Yeah. How about that?
I'm trying to think that first three he took, it was so off. I mean, hit the side of the
basket. I think he took four shots yesterday.
Yeah, but he took a three-pointer that didn't even, it hit the side of the basket.
Yeah.
It didn't even hit the rim. I guess he was a lefty.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he took it with his right hand.
There's a part of me, like, if it doesn't work, where you're like, hey, Rick, what's wrong with you? Like, why are you listening to Bells?
Well, the worst thing that could happen, though, is that you go to overtime.
That is true. And that's what I was saying before, why it was such an amazing shot, but you did at least have the backup plan of overtime.
For the win.
But you're Rick Pitino. You're arguably one of the greatest coaches of all time. And he is certainly enhancing that resume by what he's accomplished here. And he basically told you, yeah, just listen to him. I forgot he had 0 points. Like, that is so weird. And it's almost the story you only tell when it works.
Yes.
Because if it doesn't work, isn't the counter... Dude, why are you allowing Bells to run a play for himself?
I mean, look,
he's done nothing in this game.
Well, I mean, he did have a few assists in this game, and a couple of steals. Like, he did his part because his game was off. You know, his ability to score was off. He did his part otherwise.
No, I'm not saying he didn't, but it does take a special kind of oomph to let the guy who has 0 points get the ball in his final hands and put up that last shot. Now, you're right. You have the backup of this thing goes to overtime. I'll take my chances.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it's a great story. And it was an absolutely wonderful moment. Again, as an ICBO, I do need to criticize Bill Self just a little bit because obviously this is something you deal with in college basketball. You don't deal with it in the NBA because of the rules with under 2 minutes and fouls to give. But they had three fouls to give in the final 14 seconds. And I thought the selections of when they fouled, I thought it was very odd.
Yeah.
Like the first one, all right, you take 3 seconds off the clock. They're still in their own backcourt. Okay. Mm-hmm. The second one, you take another 5 seconds off the clock. Now we're down to 6.8. But that last one, especially with where they fouled in St. John's own backcourt with 3.9 seconds to go. You had a great opportunity to cut another second and a half off the clock.
Yeah. No, it was almost like he was just trying to get the game to run out, but he didn't do it correctly.
Yeah, I think they needed to wait a little bit longer on the third foul.
100%. But then again, you also get panicked as a player.
Panicked about what? About when to give the foul?
Yeah, when to give the foul. Right. As a Kansas player, you're like, what am I going to? No, I can't let him get close enough to take a shot.
Oh, you're worried he's going to put one
and
up.
And then it becomes a shooting foul. Mm. And now you lose anyways. And so...
But think about where he was when the foul was given. Right. You are like, I'd say 6 feet behind the timeline. You have time to let them dribble a little bit more, throw the foul at them, and from 3.9.
But I'm looking at the clock. Like, I didn't play basketball, so I don't know how seconds feel when you're in moments like that.
Well, the clock should be in your head. You know there's 6.8 seconds to go.
Yeah, so you're counting? You're going 7, 6. Like, imagine doing that while trying to defend.
I mean, I used to do that playing one-on-one with my cousin in the backyard, but I guess that's not the same.
Right.
I don't know. I just think when you have 3 fouls to give, which is a weapon and something that's sort of unusual because, again, not used to it in the NBA, you got a bullet, man, and you got to figure out how you want to execute it so that St. John's doesn't get a great look. You had 3 fouls to give, and they still had a layup at the basket.
Right.
Like, that just can't happen. I know he's an all-time great coach in Bill Self, and if you're a St. John's fan, who gives a crap? I mean, it doesn't matter, but it was an observation I had watching this game. Either way, it was remarkable. It was a great win by St. John's, and now you have a chance as a St. John's fan or just a college basketball fan or just a sports fan to now start thinking about 5 days from now. Because all of a sudden, you conquer Northern Iowa, which was an absolute, you know, smackdown, if you will. You knock off Kansas with a lottery pick player that may go top 3 and an all-time great coach in Bill Self. And now you have, for my generation, the most evil college basketball team in the world standing in your way. Because I know for those that are older, it's North Carolina, it's Dean Smith. That's the school you look at as big evil. Maybe it's UCLA if you're a little bit older than that, considering they were paying players before it was cool. But for my generation, for Sean's generation, even for your generation, Tiki, and you're kind of old, it's Duke.
Yeah.
It's those pretty boy,
of course,
rich candy asses, as The Rock would say. And so how cool is that?
Yeah, it's the blue blood of blue bloods.
It's the it's blue Duke. Blood of blue bloods. You're right.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Trust me. UVA, we knew. We could never beat them.
That's right. You know better than anybody. And here's what's so cool about this matchup on Friday. It's almost as if they predetermined, let's find a halfway point to have this battle. Let's pick a line in the sand halfway between Durham, North Carolina, and Jamaica, Queens. And I was doing the math on it. Mm. If you count the miles, if you count how long it takes to make the drive, in fact, let's play a game. How long does it take to get from St. John's University to the Capital One Arena in downtown Washington, D.C. by car?
I'm going to say, because I used to have to do this drive frequently, but I lived in the city, but it's close enough, and I would drive down to Northern Virginia. I'm going to say 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Look at you. 4 hours and 37 minutes.
Well, I drive faster than
that's true, and sometimes there's traffic. 249 miles. Now, if you're coming from Duke University straight up to the Capital One Arena, how would you guess that one?
Okay, so Duke is, let's see, from Roanoke, Duke is probably 3 hours. I want to say it's 5 hours and 10 minutes.
Oh, you're way off. Hey, you clearly haven't been in Virginia in a very long time. It's a little bit shorter.
Really?
It's 3 hours and 55 minutes.
Oh, wow.
262 miles, 249 for St. John's. Mm. There's a 13-mile difference. Because traffic, you know, can really change the times it takes.
Yeah.
There's a 13-mile difference between driving from St. John's to, I call it the MCI Center. I think that was 5 names ago, but right. Whatever, man. I used to live down there. So it's 13 miles closer to go from Duke to D.C. than it is St. John's. It's the middle ground.
It is.
It's like great. They threw it a is. Dart in the middle and said, meet up and let's have a battle. Let's have a war. And it's going to be one.
Who's traveling better?
Okay, so the answer is Duke, but can I give you my reasons why?
Go ahead.
All right, few things. I just think they have more fans. Like, I lived in Maryland. Mm-hmm. I lived in Silver Spring, Maryland, and obviously the Terps were the biggest deal down there, University of Maryland. But Duke was almost like the Cowboys. It was almost like that, the Lakers,
yep.
The obnoxious fan base that you find everywhere.
Yep.
So I think when you say travel, like, with all due respect to St. John's, they are the city's team.
Yeah.
Okay? And there are people in New York City that are going to travel, but you really don't have St. John's fans living all over the country, I don't think. I mean, I guess you have alum that may have spread out, but in terms of fans, forget alum, like fans of a school, fans of a program, I don't think St. John's can match Duke. But here's where we can match them, by driving down there.
Yes.
Driving 3-hour Amtrak from St. John's Madison Square Garden. You walk underneath.
That too. Now, the negative is the prices. I've already gone on the Ticketmaster.
Oh, no good. And
what do you think the get-in price is? And remember, you're getting 2 games. You're not only getting St. John's against Duke, you're getting UConn against Michigan State, and UConn fans travel really well. So it's really a double deucer because you're not just dealing with St. John's fans who want to go and Duke fans who want to go.
$350.
Oh, you're being very sweet. $575 at last check.
Oh, man.
$575.
Wow.
So it's tough for me and you and Sean and everyone else to rally the troops.
Yeah.
And say, come on, guys.
Right. Go spend $500. And if it's two of you because you need someone to drive with you, talk about $1,000.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Probably more than that because you got to. Maybe you can drive back.
No, I think you could drive back. Well, the problem is you're probably going to want to stay for the second game. Yeah. Here's the way I would do this if I'm a diehard fan. I'm not staying for the second game if I lose. Mm. Like, if I win, yeah, I'm scouting. Plus, I'm going to stay anyway because now there's going to be a game on Sunday. So it really depends if you win or lose on what that price is going to be. And the other thing that you can do, not that St. John's fans has any right to be arrogant or any of us should be arrogant, is you could say I'm saving my shekels for Lucas Oil Stadium.
Mm.
You could say, hey, wait a second, as much as I want to see Duke against St. John's, and I may want to see St. John's against UConn or St. John's against Michigan State, what if we get to the Final Four? Which is like crazy. It's crazy to even think about.
But you're two wins away from it.
I know. Is that not unbelievable?
It is.
And here's the question.
Against a team that you've consistently beat after Duke.
Dude, that is a Civil War bloodbath. I think that's what Coach Early called it.
Yes.
If they get that far.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.